for a Class 3A semifinal as number 1 Cedar Rapids Xavier battles number 3 Solon. Both teams come in at 11-0 for the year, and only one will survive and advance to the finals. That's 3A semifinal playoff football presented by First Federal Credit Union. Number 1 Cedar Rapids Xavier and number 3 Solon. Thursday night at 8 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM KGYM.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. We have a jam-packed gym class coming your way on KGYM. We're going to talk with Rob Gray of CycloneFanatic.com, and then after that, we're going to talk with former Hawkeye quarterback, Big Ten Network analyst Chuck Long about his new book, Destined for Greatness. And then to wrap up things, Kevin Lehman will talk college hoops with us as we get ready for the season openers coming up tomorrow night for Iowa State and for the UNI Panthers. All that and a whole lot more coming up Thursday edition of the gym class, KGYM. And from our studios here in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, add to that, we got a Dr. Pepper prize pack we're going to be giving away on the program today. Get you updated on what's happening at the U.S. Cellular Center and at the Unidome. State football semifinals getting underway today. Scott Unash along with Mark Dukes. Welcome in to the gym class for a Thursday. And like I said, we are jam-packed here today. And we're going to get to it coming up right now, as a matter of fact. Coming up tonight, Xavier Solon football. We'll have it for you at 8 o'clock. Myself, John Hagerty on the call, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. The two FMs coming your way tonight around 8 o'clock with the pregame. They're hoping for an 8:20 kickoff tonight from the Dome, depending on the length of the Pella Harlan game, the first 3A semifinal. Already have the 8-man semifinals in the books today, and neither one was very close at this present time. You had in 8-man football, Don Bosco. The Dons roll 80-12 over Midland today. And Remsen St. Mary's a 51-6 win over Fremont Mills. So it'll be Don Bosco taking on Remsen St. Mary's. And that will be coming up next week on Thursday morning, I do believe. We mentioned the two 3A games and then 4A and A coming up tomorrow. 1A and 2A will get started on Saturday. There we go. Hello, America. This is what happens when we got a jam-packed show, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is what happens when we have a jam-packed show. Things go haywire, and I've been working on this, getting ready for the games tonight. What do? I forgot to hit a button.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate that. Kyle Mann, our producer.
Yeah, I forgot to hit a button for the first time in ages. Now I got to start all over again. Hello, America.
Let it rip, Scott.
And all the ships at sea. Oh, I hope the game goes better tonight. We're going to get you updated on the U.S. Cellular Center. We're going to get you updated as well on the Iowa High School football playoffs. And let's start with that. Don Bosco and Remsen St. Mary's will meet in the 8-man championship game. Don Bosco, an 80-12 winner over Midland. Remsen St. Mary's, 51-6 over Fremont Mills. Tonight, we have Xavier and Solon beginning at 8 o'clock on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Mm-hmm. That'll be right after the Harlan Pella 3A championship game. That will get underway at 5:30 this evening. Also, we've got action from the U.S. Cellular Center, the Iowa State Volleyball Tournament. And I hit that button right, Mark. We have two final matchups in the books in Class 5A. It'll be number 1 versus number 2, as it'll be Cedar Falls taking on West Des Moines Valley. Cedar Falls swept Linmar 3-0, and West Des Moines Valley 3-0 over Ankeny Centennial. In Class 4A, it's not the All-MVC final we thought it was going to be. Sergeant Bluff Luton with the mild upset of number 1 Cedar Rapids Xavier. The Warriors come in number 4 rated and 3-2 over the number 1 Saints. And it will be Sergeant Bluff Luton taking on number 2 Dubuque Wallert. They were a straight sets winner over Lewis Central. And that will be coming up tomorrow in the championship game. Going on right now, Sioux Center and Osage. Carol Kemper with a 2-0 lead on Waterloo Columbus right now. I believe Osage and Sioux Center are 1-1 in that one. So that's what we have. Lots of things going on around the U.S. Cellular Center and the Unidome here today. We're going to talk to Rob Gray of CycloneFanatic.com coming up right after this break. And then Chuck Long, the former Hawkeye quarterback, is going to be joining us. And we're going to talk about his new book, Destined for Greatness. And Kevin Lehman will join us to talk some college basketball as we're on the eve of the start of the season. All that coming up and more. Gym Class here for Thursday on KGYM.
This is the sound of money. So is this. And this. It may not sound like money to you, but it will, because you'll get paid while you learn to do it all. That's how the apprenticeship program at Carpenters Union, Local 308, Local 1260, and Local 678 works. You earn while you learn. So, no student debt. Check out carpentersunionapprenticeship.com. This is how you build a career.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great. And we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
Duralast batteries are proven tough in the most extreme conditions. They're tested to start in 140-degree heat or temperatures of 40 below. Yep, they're that tough. So if they can do that, they can definitely perform for your nephew's soccer game, work through a scattered thunderstorm, or be dependable on Sunday afternoon trips to the grocery store. Because no matter what the weather's like, it's nice to know that you've got a proven tough Duralast battery under the hood. Duralast. Proven tough. And sold only at AutoZone. Let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Back with you at 308 on the Gym Class, 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. And we've got Thursday night football coming your way tonight. It'll be Arizona and Seattle. That'll be on 1600 AM at 7 o'clock. And then it was mentioned Xavier and Solon coming up at 8 o'clock tonight. That will be on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Saturday, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Senior Day in Ames for, I believe, 20-odd number of Cyclone seniors. Talk about that. Rob Gray from CycloneFanatic.com. We'll have that game for you at 12:30 on Saturday. And Rob, what a fall it has been. You have to be enjoying this, aren't you?
Well, it's to put it mildly, yes. Let's go. Yeah. After, you know, four straight seasons of 3-2 wins, knocking on the door at 7 here with 3 to go in the regular season, and it's been a special time, and I'd say probably most fans and certainly those of us in the media kind of think that Matt Campbell's a bit ahead of schedule in terms of this reclamation project that's going so well.
Let's talk about last week and what was a disappointing first half, but I thought the Cyclones showed a lot of resolve in the second half of that 2016 loss at West Virginia. What'd you think, Rob?
Well, yeah, and that's the one thing that's kind of been the hallmark of the program since Campbell took over. We saw it late last season, not in every game, certainly not in the last game of the season, but there were notable improvements. And one of the major areas where that was most obvious was just in terms of resilience, just in terms of battling back and tackling adversity instead of shrinking from it. And that's been a real rallying cry this season. And they're really for seniors like Alan Lazard, Joel Lanning, on down the line, Kamari Cotton Moya, lots of seniors that have gone through a lot, J.D. Wagner, and the list is very long. This is kind of a bit of redemption for them going through the tough years, going through a coaching change. And that was, again, on full display at West Virginia, a very poor first half that was hindered by a turnover deep in Iowa State territory, held them to a field goal, but the offense could get nothing going until the second half. They could sort of get something going. I think very much, Mark, indicative of the type of team that that has been rebuilt in Ames, and that's a resilient one. That's a team that's going to persevere and going to be coming on late in games instead of fading.
Hey, despite the loss to West Virginia last week, still Iowa State can control their own destiny a bit if they get this win against Oklahoma State and then close things out the right way. Pretty good chance they're going to be in the Big 12 championship game.
Yeah, and that's just, I mean, it's mind-boggling to even be talking about that possibility, but that's what happens when you go to Oklahoma and win, and you outscore them, I think, 25-7 in the second half, and you know, this has been a second-half team. I think they've given up 24 points after halftime in their six Big 12 games, four wins, obviously the top five win over TCU as well, where the offense struggled, but the defense shined. Big if with the Cowboys coming into town and Mason Rudolph, and we know what that offense can do, and they've got size, length, speed on the defensive side. But I got to think the offense is ready to rebound a little bit. And I don't think they misfired on a few big plays that could be called borderline drops, not perfect throws against West Virginia, and the bad scenario where Kyle Kemp ended up keeping the ball on second and goal at the 1-2, which I guess is just kind of a snafu there. You know, they're not that far, and I think it's going to be an really, really enjoyable football game on Saturday. And again, it all sets up. The dominoes are in place for something magical to happen if they can get this step and then go on the road and get two more.
Yeah, among those seniors, Joel Lanning, and I don't know if there's been too many better stories than Joel Lanning over the years, not only from his switch from quarterback to linebacker, but the way he's gone about his business.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to say he's sort of a stoic guy. He's not a rah-rah guy, but he's very much a leader, and that's evident in the fact that he was voted a captain not only this season as a senior, but last season as well. Threw 19 touchdown passes, starting 10, 11, 12 games over the course of parts of 2015 and parts of 2016. Just seven picks. I mean, people forget he was a pretty efficient quarterback, and now, of course, in those land-ram packages, which many thought they could have used maybe a little bit more of against West Virginia, although he's played, as Campbell said, well over 700 snaps when you add up defense and special teams and offense to add another layer to the mind-boggling theme maybe that I'm carrying today. But, just a stand-up guy that's not a leader in guys' faces, just a leader by example and a guy that's there to support people. And it's a great senior story for him, as long as they keep getting the improvement that they want, because they're not satisfied sitting at 6 wins at this point.
No, and obviously we saw that in the post-game the talk that Matt Campbell gave after that 6th win. Another senior that will be honored coming up on Saturday is going to be Alan Lazard. And, you know, Alan committed to Iowa State, obviously, his father being a former Cyclone help. But Alan Lazard was kind of the first brick in this foundation a little bit to get Iowa State back up there. And that was even before Matt Campbell was even on the radar a little bit. But him and Lanning, but especially I think Alan Lazard, because he had some people around the country that were looking at him as far as the recruiting process is concerned. And he's had a terrific career. I think he's going to make some NFL team next year and play on Sundays and just kind of look back on his career a little bit.
Yeah, it's wild to think. It seems like even though so much has happened, and of course there has been the coaching change, it seems like only yesterday that then head coach Paul Rhodes was waving around the national letter of intent when Alan Lazard was a coveted, for good reason, piece of the 2013 recruiting class. And it's great to see that for him, too. His brother played as a walk-on there, and his dad, of course, in the early 90s. And his dad beat Oklahoma at Oklahoma, and he got to do that. His dad was at the game. I mean, a lot of storybook elements to this season for an Alan Lazard who, Lanning told me, is actually a bit more of a vocal guy. Like, he'll shout and he'll get in guys' faces a little bit while supporting them, too. And that's something he's built over time. But he's always been one of the guys who sets an example of going to work, whether it be in the off season in the weight room, whether it be film, whether it be just how he carries himself on and off the field. So just a very, heartwarming, almost too trite to put it. I mean, a very redemptive story for a guy, again, that worked through. I mean, he's Iowa State's only receiver ever to have 4 seasons of 40-plus receptions in each one of those seasons and 500-plus receiving yards in each one of those seasons. You know, from the touchdowns to the yards record that's within reach. I mean, just a tremendous career he's had at the Cyclone, and I agree. I think there's a really good chance that he's going to be able to make some plays as a pro, because he's so good in other aspects, not just catching the ball. We know he's not off the charts athletic in terms of speed, but he's so strong and he's so smart, and he blocks downfield exceptionally well. So I think there's a lot of things to like about his game and obviously about his career at Iowa State.
Well, in regards to Saturday's game, Rob, what do you think the best path to victory is for the Iowa State Cyclones?
I think that the blueprint is the defense is going to give the offense a chance. I think they've got to find a way, and I keep saying this every week, and they haven't been able to do it, but David Montgomery is the second leading back in the Big 12, yet Iowa State's 10th in rushing yards. A bit of an outlier game when Kansas came in. I think they would have rolled up more yards on them, except that they were wet and very adverse conditions that day. But Montgomery is doing almost all that on his own. I mean, the offensive line, which is now a bit dinged up and lost a starter in Bryce Meeker, although Sean Foster has ably replaced him, especially what did in the second half against West Virginia last week. I think they're going to have to find a way to get David Montgomery on the edge, get him in space, and give him the opportunity to do what he does so well, which is bounce off guys, run guys over, make guys miss. We saw that at times in some of these games where it's been rough sledding generally on the ground, but you've got to do that to open the things up downfield and get the single coverages you want on the Allen Lazards, the Hakeem Butlers, Trevor Ryan, DeShante Jones coming out of the slot, and so many other guys that can be dangerous downfield. Just got to find a way to whether it's through play calling or just improves performance on the O line to get David Montgomery a big day. And I think they've got a real shot to pull off another top 25 win.
Of course, coming up before the kickoff, and by the way, it's an 11 o'clock kickoff. I'm going to get that through my head. That's the second time Mark has had to tell me that. Don't tune in at 12:30. Tune in earlier than that. Iowa State basketball. Toughest opener Iowa State's had in a while. They go down to Columbia to take on Mizzou with Porter and Konzo Martin and a new regime, a new attitude down in Columbia down there. Iowa State's going to go in this thing probably as the underdog. And what about that game and what'd you see in the Emporia State Exhibition last Sunday?
A lot of uncertainty. I think a lot of head scratching. I think Donovan Jackson, we knew going into even media day and coming into the season that Donovan Jackson is a guy who was kind of a hero in that 15-point comeback run that Todd Allen Field House against Kansas last year. He's got to be a guy that's consistently 15-plus points and really playing a pretty flawless leadership role from week to week, game to game. Lindell Wiggins is the real deal. Five-star freshman. He's going to get to the line a lot. He showed that in the exhibition, just a physically imposing guy and I think a real competitor. But, you know, they need consistency out of Nick Lyle Babb, and that's been something that's been hard to come by. Maybe more consistent minutes will lead to that for him. And then a lot of newcomers and transfers, and Zoran Talley, the sixth man of the year before having some issues at Old Dominion. And they're also facing Missouri without Cameron Large, who's their most imposing guy in the paint in terms of being the rim protector, too. So, yeah, I was seeing it circulating on Twitter that somehow, some way, the Cyclones were opening as a one-point favorite in Columbia, and that has a lot of us scratching our heads a little bit, given the Porter situation with Missouri, given the buzz that's now surrounding the program after a couple of really down years. So maybe that was an error, maybe that's an oddity, but I think they got a chance to do some good things this year. But obviously, that's a very, very tough road to hoe down there in Columbia. Again, with Missouri flashing as much talent as they're going to flash at them.
Maybe they should play for the telephone trophy.
It's got to be seen somewhere to start making. Hopefully, trips back and forth. That was a great one. We miss the telephone trophy.
I miss it, too, with Iowa State and Missouri playing football with the for the telephone trophy, and why not? Hey, Rob, appreciate it. We got to fly, but keep up the great work at CycloneFanatic.com, and we will look forward to talking with you again.
Yeah, Mark, thanks so much.
You bet. Rob Gray joining us here on the Gym Class here on KGYM. We're going to take a break. As we go to break, going to give you an opportunity to win a Dr. Pepper prize pack right now at 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. We're going to take caller number six. If you've been a winner over the last 30 days, please do not call in. Otherwise, you're eligible. You're going to get a Dr. Pepper prize pack, 24-pack of regular Dr. Pepper or Diet Dr. Pepper, some KGYM prizes, some Dr. Pepper prizes as well. We'll let you know who our winner is, and we'll come back. We'll talk with former Hawkeye quarterback Chuck Long when we return.
What could be better than watching your team defeat their rival? Celebrating the victory with Larceny Wheated Bourbon. Award-winning Larceny Bourbon is made with more wheat for a smoother taste. It's hand-selected by our master distillers from the finest barrels for a true small-batch bourbon. Get caught in the act. Unlock the smoothness of Larceny Bourbon today. Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely.
Colonel Sanders from KFC here to talk about the good old days. Well, the good old days are still here in chicken form. Specifically, in KFC's original recipe fried chicken with 11 herbs and spices. Our delicious chicken is still hand-breaded and pressure-fried just like it was then. Get your fill with two pieces of my original recipe in a $5 fill-up with mashed potatoes, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink at a KFC near you. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. At participating KFCs, prices may vary. Tax extra.
Guys, come into JCPenney and get ready for the holiday season. Wednesday through Saturday, select Dockers signature khakis are just $36.99. Or get 50% off select Arizona and St. John's Bay apparel. Plus, get $10 off with coupon when you spend $25 or more on select items throughout the store and at jcp.com. Hurry in. These deals can't be beat. JCPenney.
Coupon valid 11/8 to 11/12. Offers represent savings on regular or original prices while supplies last. Some exclusions apply. See store jcp.com for details.
Welcome back to the Gym Class at 3:22 here on a Thursday edition of the show. Our thanks to Rob Gray for joining us, and we're going to talk to Kevin Lehman coming up here in just a little bit, and Chuck Long is going to be joining us, and we're going to talk about Chuck's new book, Mark, Destined for Greatness, and of course the former runner-up to the Heisman Trophy and all Big Ten, All-American quarterback, Chuck Long, of course.
Chuck and legend going in about the same sentence every time you mention his name, so looking forward to talking to Chuck here.
Yep, and we're going to do that coming up right now. Chuck Long joining us here on the Thursday edition of the program as we talk about his book, Destined for Greatness. And Chuck, good afternoon. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, guys. How about yourself?
Not too bad. And last time I talked to you in person, I was beating you on the racetrack, so I you know. You couldn't get in the car.
I know it. That was a tough car to get into, let me tell you. Not made for 6'4 guys, that's for sure.
Chuck, let's talk about the title of the book, Destined for Greatness. And I was there in August of 1982, fresh off the Rose Bowl. You're in competition with Tom Grogan for the starting job. You didn't even have a snap yet. And
yep, Mark,
Coach Fry says, you're destined for greatness. What did you think?
I know. Well, I thought he was nuts since I didn't have a start. And, you know, it didn't really add any pressure. I was still trying to figure out my way around there, you know. And I think, you know, Hayden said a lot of things, and I think he projected. And what I mean by that is he said it about me, but I also believe he said it about his program. And he was saying, hey, you know, Chuck might be destined for greatness, but our program is going to be destined for greatness, so stick around. And I think that is why he said that, because nobody in their right mind would say that, you know, right after one scrimmage in spring ball. And so I think he was projecting in a way about his own program, and that's why the book is not only about me, but just everything that went into the building blocks and the resurgence of Iowa football in the 80s.
Yeah, and talk about that a little bit. Obviously, you guys had some terrific talent, it turned out, yourself and Ronnie Harmon. You guys go up and down the line. And obviously, it took more than just one person, and you'd probably describe that in the book, to get Iowa to the elite level that you did.
Well, you know, we had a wonderful staff. You know, there's going to be four College Football Hall of Famers off that staff, and and there's going to, you know, Dan McCarney's in the Iowa State Hall of Fame, and you know, you had Barry Alvarez, you had Bill Snyder, you had Bob Stoops as a GA, you had Kirk Ferentz. You know, you had those guys that were outstanding coaches in their own right. So it started with the staff, you know, and Hayden always hired as good as or better than he was. I think that's a sign of a true leader. And then he brought innovation. He brought something to the Big Ten that's never seen before. You know, he was running the spread offense when, you know, everybody says, you know, they're calling it now, but he was the spread offense back then. And he just brought that fun and excitement to the place, and you just knew something special was going to happen, not only with that staff, but with your question, they knew how to recruit. They went out and recruited great talent, but not only that, knew how to develop that talent, and they went coast to coast to get it.
Chuck, at the end of 85, you and Lisa, then your fiance, were kind enough to let me tag along to the Heisman Trophy ceremony, that right. trip and everything, and what a blast that was. But we didn't learn until later that you didn't even have a speech written. Is that right?
That's right. By the way, Mark, you're in the book. If you get the book, you're listed in it, just so you know that.
All right, man. All right, man.
I didn't really have a speech ready. I was, you know, my wife and I, my fiance at the time, were rolling up in the elevator. We're going up in the elevator, and she turns to me. She says, "Hey, honey, what if you win this? Do you have anything to say?" And I said, "Oh my gosh, I'm scrambling." Pull out a piece of paper and a pen. I said, "Well, I had started to jot some things down." You know, I had no idea it was going to be, you know, that close, and so I had to prepare.
What about
elevator speech?
Elevator speech. You're not the first one to do that, by the way. Looking back at the Hawkeye career, Iowa-Michigan game in 1985, obviously, that was huge. What else kind of stands out, and maybe that you talked about in the book as well, as big moments as a Hawkeye?
Well, the Iowa-Michigan game, you mentioned that, and then the bootleg. Those are the two things that everybody wants to talk about. You know, the Freedom Bowl was big for Hayden Fry, beating Texas like we did. And, there's so many moments. You know, the Peach Bowl was our first bowl victory, since the 50s. And that was big. And that was really the game where I felt like I belonged. You know, I started that whole year, but I was just scrapping. I mean, I was just fighting my way to the next game and next play and everything like that. And finally, that Peach Bowl, the way we had that, the way I played in that game, and the way we played as a team, I felt like, for the first time, I belonged in the Big Ten.
Chuck, we know you got to run to another interview, but real quick, talk about the co-author of this book and how it all came about and how you're getting the word out.
Well, Aaron Putsey came to me, and he's a director of external relations and communications for the Iowa Soybean Association, and he came to me, and we became friends, and he's one of our sponsors in the Iowa Sports Foundation, and he came to me and said, "Hey, you know, I was telling him stories one night." He goes, "We need to put all this in a book. Have you ever thought about writing a book?" I said, "No, not till I'm 70 or so." And he said, "Well, why wait that long? No one's going to remember you then. Let's do it now." So I said, "Okay, let's give it a shot." And he spent about 2.5 years writing the book, over 800 hours of manpower in it. And I gave him all these bins from my mom's attic full of newspaper clippings, including Mark's clippings. I said, "Hey, here you go. Have at it." And he spent 2.5 years to write it. And now here we are. It's come to fruition. And we're going on some signing tours. You can buy it on Amazon right now. So we're excited about this book. Yeah. I'll tell you what, I've had some awards in my life, but there's nothing like having your own book in your hand. It's quite exciting.
That is.
Yeah, no, look forward to reading it over. And hey, before we let you go here, one memory, and you talked about the bootleg, you talked about Iowa and Michigan.
Right.
Another one was the Freedom Bowl. Because it was just a slop bowl.
It was.
What do you remember about that game? And just that kind of helped put Iowa on the map as well, because you took down one of the Blue Bloods in Texas.
It did, and we call that the Hayden Fry Bowl, because he grew up in West Texas, and he really wanted that game. And you're right, it was a miserable pregame warm-up. I remember going out there, and it was raining and pouring. I couldn't grip the football. let alone throw it in a pregame warm-up. I remember going in that locker room before the game, and Bill Happel, our wide receiver, said to me, "Chuck, are we going to be able to throw the ball tonight?" I honestly told him, "I don't know. I cannot put my hands on the football right now." And lo and behold, we get out there. All of a sudden, we had some dry footballs in the rain, and we threw it around the yard like it was a bright, sunny day. I don't know how it happened, because I felt horrible in the pregame warm-up from throwing the football, and we came out slinging it around. Hey, didn't bother Hayden. He just said, let's do it.
Six TDs later, that might have had something to do with you returning the next year, huh?
It did. Yeah, absolutely. I knew we had a good team coming back, and I just felt the need and want to stick around. I wanted to get my degree and have one more special year. I wanted to be part of a Big Ten championship. A Big Ten champion, and we ended up being outright Big Ten champions that year, and that was something special.
Yep, and best of luck with the book, Chuck. And again, how can people get a hold of it?
Amazon.com right now. That's the best way to get a hold of it. And we have a greatness. Our handle is Greatness 16, and you can go to our Facebook page and get some information off of that. But Amazon.com, and then on that Facebook are all the signings lined up. We're going to line up some in Cedar Rapids. We're getting that done in Iowa City area. So we'll promo those and put those out there once we get it.
Chuck, appreciate it. Be well, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Chuck. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
3:32 here on the Gym Class Thursday edition of the show. Our thanks to Chuck Long for joining us, and you can pick that up on Amazon. Destined for Greatness is the name of the book, and so many great memories of that era of Hawkeye football. And you're in the book, man. How about that? Any royalties from the book?
No, I don't think so, but I'd be glad to give my address.
That's good. That's some good stuff right there. All right. Before we get to break, let's do this. Let's go over a little bowling night in America last night. It is brought to you by May City Bowl, Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. And stop on by. Pro Shop is ready to help you out, whether you need a new ball, some accessories, whatever the case may be. They can help you maintain your current bowling ball. If yours is, long in tooth, mm-hmm. like mine is getting, and yours is, and some of the balls on our team, the bowling balls anyway. And well, how about last night? I stopped by to lend some moral support. I am happy to report the jacket is back in the office. Well done.
I have returned it today. The Rusty Nails sweep the Pin Pals. They weren't too happy last night. Well, I shouldn't say
they're
that.
Always
they're always
happy.
In a good mood, whatnot. But pulled out the last game, I think, seven sticks is all. And
they helped you.
They really did. opened quite a bit in the last two frames. But we did get a sweep over the Pin Pals, retained the Schmedium May City Bowl jacket. And it now hangs in Scott Unash's office until we meet again. Rusty Nails now 24-16, third place in the Mature Evergreen League. Austin Kluth, who is on the team that we bowl next week.
Correct.
Perfect 300 last night, 7-16 series. Ryan Bundy close with a 298. Taylor Butkerite with a 718 leading the way, the top series in the league last night. Brian Buzzmore just off knee surgery.
Yeah, how about Buzz?
717 for Buzz.
Leading left-hander, I believe, last night.
One of the few.
Every time we talk about Buzz, it gets back to him, which is great.
It did, because he confronted us last night.
Thank you for talking about me. I appreciate that. Giving me a little plug.
Speak for yourself.
Well, I think Buzz appreciates it.
Yeah. Good night last night, though.
Was a good night last night. We bowled fairly well and way down on 31 and 32, which we usually don't bowl very well on those two lanes. So I was happy about that.
True enough, we'll be out there again next week. And if you'd like to go out to May City for open bowling or inquire about a party, a company outing, what have you, give them a call, 362-0136, or visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
Yeah, we'll be ready to go. We're 10 weeks into 33, by the way. So we're just coming up on the one-third pole.
Oh, boy.
I should have asked Buzz if he had everything. He usually does the math on how many games are remaining in the season and how many frames.
Rusty knows because he's about out the door to Florida.
Just about ready to go for that. But, hey, we're rounding into shape here. We're in good shape at the one-third pole.
As of now.
Yeah. We're doing okay. All right. We'll come back, and Kevin Lehman will join us, and we're going to talk some college basketball. We'll do that when we return after this. You're listening to the Gym Class here at 3:36. Back with more after this. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The winter sports season is off and running at Xavier. Girls basketball and boys and girls bowling practice kicked off last Monday, while boys basketball and wrestling practice will get underway this coming Monday. The first winter sports game will be Friday, November 17th, when the girls basketball team hosts Davenport Assumption. Join Xavier for the third annual Dancing with the Saints, January 20th at the DoubleTree by Hilton Convention Center. Dancing with the Saints is an event which supports the students of Xavier High School. 10 Xavier Community Stars will be paired with 10 area dancing professionals. Each couple will compete for your vote in the form of online donations. Tickets for Dancing with the Saints go on sale November 15th. Meet the dancers and coaches at xaviersaints.org/DWTS.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company, family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Shifting gears is what it takes sometimes to move forward. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is looking for some special people like you who view life a bit differently. You're intrigued by the thought of working all night when the rest of the world isn't. You like the freedom and the pay night work offers, plus overtime. Shifting gears with PMX Overnight offers stellar health benefits with medical, dental, and vision, coupled with rock-solid retirement benefits. Working the overnight shift at PMX isn't for everyone, but shifting gears may be perfect for you. Learn more at ipmx.com.
Monday through Friday from 3 to 4, the Gym Class with UNASH and Dukes, KGYM.
By the way, congratulations going out to Stephen Robbins. He is our Dr. Pepper prize pack winner for the day. He will get a 24-pack of regular Dr. Pepper or Diet Dr. Pepper and also some KGYM and Dr. Pepper prizes, including a pint glass from all of us here at KGYM. Programming note for tomorrow. As you probably have heard on local programming, Todd suffering a death in the family, and he will not be able to be here tomorrow. And, of course, we've got the Iowa City West game going on, so we're going to just put that on all three frequencies tomorrow, beginning at 3:45. Alex and Gary will be up at the Unidome. 3:45 tomorrow, that's going to be on all three frequencies, Iowa City West and Bettendorf. Iowa State basketball tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Got that right, Mark. 8 o'clock with the tip-off at Mizzou Arena as the Cyclones will take on the Mizzou Tigers. And also coming up Saturday, I beg your pardon. Iowa State, 9 o'clock, 1600 a.m., and then Alex and Gary will be back at the Unidome for Regina and Pella Christian. That is a 1A semifinal. That will be on Saturday morning at 9:30 tonight. We've got Xavier and Solon coming your way, and that will be around 8 o'clock, we hope at 8 o'clock anyway, with the pregame show at about 8:21 with the kickoff. 8:21.
Or thereabouts.
Thereabouts. It's usually a little bit later than that, but we shall see. At any rate, looking forward to bringing you that game tonight right here on KGYM. And right now, with college basketball starting officially tomorrow, we got all the exhibition games out of the way and what have you. Kevin Lehman's going to join us here. Kevin's going to be a regular with us throughout the basketball season, so we're looking forward to that. I think probably on Thursdays, but we'll just see how that plays out anyway. And about 24 hours away, I would imagine that's probably the most fun time of the year for you, isn't it, Kevin?
Well, it is, Scott, but first of all, I got to talk about Chuck Long's book, Destined for Greatness, because as Mark Dukes would tell you, he's about my age, we suffered through that 0-11 year with Frank Lauterbur.
That was my senior year in high school. So when Chuck Long came in there and Hayden got that program going around, that was really a fun time. I was doing graduate work at that time at the U of I.
Yeah, I remember that 0-11 season, too, and it wasn't hard to get in the stadium then, I know that.
Well, that's, Mark, that's a great point, because you could go there without a ticket, and there's always a crack under the fence.
That's right.
Somewhere to get in that place.
The knothole section.
Somebody would just hand you a ticket.
Yeah. Please, take it. Would you like...
I got a good friend that was on that team. He always says, I was on that the perfect season team. The one that went 0-11.
Well, college basketball, that starts tomorrow. Iowa will be at home. Now they will take on Chicago State, and we're not going to pull the wool over anyone's eyes. This is not Duke coming into Iowa City tomorrow night, but it is the opener, and Iowa is going to be shorthanded as Nicholas Bear is going to be out 3 to 4 weeks with that finger injury.
Well, Nicholas Bear is going to be out, but I would suspect that Ahmad Wagner will start. I think this is going to be a great time to get a good look at Jack Nungi, and he'll get some playing time at that three spot, because I think he has a huge upside. That front line of Cook, Garza, and if you can get Nungi in there at 6'11 at that three spot, that is a huge, huge front team. And the zone that Fran likes to play, that's going to be lethal with that lineup.
Alabama State on Sunday as well. Wouldn't you agree, Kevin? We're not going to know a whole lot about this team until that Virginia Tech game.
Well, I tell you what, I have that Cayman Island Classic, and I've been researching those teams. Louisiana returns four starters, and they're picked high in that, I believe it's the Sun Belt Conference, and they've got three transfers coming in. So that might be a little challenge for the Hawks. And, of course, they're going to meet, if things go as according to plan, they would meet number 13 Cincinnati in the championship of the Cayman Island Classic. So you're going to have a pretty good look at the Hawks in this down there in that island tournament and see what they're made of.
Cincy's pretty good, too. They're going to have a terrific, terrific team.
Well, and they're going to play a style, Scott, that's going to be the opposite of what the Hawks do. There's going to be a half-court defense. Iowa will really get a chance to see if they can execute in the half court, because Cincinnati will not let you run. They got great guards. They're not going to let you turn it over. And you talk about the season coming up. You know, Jordan Bohanno, that great year as a freshman. This year is going to be a little bit different, guys, because the best defender, perimeter defender on the other team, is not going to be guarding Peter Jock. He's going to be on Jordan Bohanno. So Jordan's shots may be harder to come by this season.
What did you think of the two guards that Fran McCaffrey signed yesterday, Kevin?
Well, we've been hearing about Joe Wieskamp for a long time. I think that is a great get. You know, Fran has locked down the borders of Iowa. He is getting the Iowa high school kids that can help him win the Big Ten. And that's what Iowa basketball has done. You go all the way back to Mark Gannon, Bobby Hansen, and those teams that Lou Olson made sure he got the best players out of Iowa. I like that Fran's doing that. Great for your fan base. The other young man sounds like a player that's got a huge upside. I haven't seen much of him, but we know Joe Wieskamp is a big-time player for the Hawks.
With Iowa, looking at the exhibition game, I was there for the game against Belmont Abbey, and Connor McCaffrey and Jordan Bohannon on the floor at the same time at the guard position. I think Fran's intrigued by that a little bit, and I think we're going to see that probably in each and every game. I don't know how many minutes it's going to happen, maybe 5 to 8 minutes somewhere in there, depending on matchups anyway, but I think Fran's intrigued by that.
Well, and I am also, Scott, because when you look at Connor McCaffrey, he's built a little bit like Matt Gaines. I mean, he is physically ready to play in the Big Ten right now, and he's been around basketball so long, there's no awe about this. He understands what he needs to do. I think he is a great post feeder and excellent passer. And we know the strength of this team is going to be the inside play of Cook and Jack and Luca Garza. So I like that combo too. It gets Bohannon some more shots where he's coming off screens, where he can catch and shoot. I think we're going to see more of that than we think as this season progresses. But to me, Isaiah Moss really has to make a step forward, because they need a guy that can break you down off the dribble. That's the one thing. This Iowa team, they run some great action offensively with their motion offense, but they don't have the one or two guys that can beat you off the dribble and get to the rim and create shots themselves. With the way basketball rules have changed, you need those type of players.
Chicago State is not Iowa State's opener. It is Missouri. And Michael Porter Jr., a lot of folks believe he's the freshman of the year this year coming in. That's not an easy opener, Kevin.
They've sold out all their season tickets at Missouri. There's more buzz in that program than any program in the nation right now with Lonzo Martin coming back and reinvigorating. He's got Porter. He's got Porter's brother. This is a tough opener for a Cyclone team that's still going to be a little bit shorthanded because Cameron Lard is not going to play in this game. That's the spot for the Cyclones that really concerns me. That four-man or the rim protector, they're kind of small up front. And Solomon Young, I like what he does, but he's not a guy who creates his own shots. So they'll be a bit shorthanded down. This is a tough opener, but as Steve Prohm says, we're going to find out what our weaknesses are when we come back from Columbia, Missouri.
Right, and even if Iowa State goes down Friday night, and a lot of people think Missouri probably will win that game, it's not going to mean the end of the season, certainly, for Iowa State. They're going to find out what they need to work on, like you said, and the personnel is going to get better. Lard's going to get in there eventually, I got to think. Brace is going to get in there, or Brass, or however you pronounce his name, the young man from the Ivy League, who's going to help, I think, a little bit. But it's a team that's going to get better as the season progresses, a lot like the Hawkeyes were last year, I think.
Well, and Scott's going to be a different team because last year they relied so much on that three-guard lineup, the ability to shoot the three ball. This is a team that's not going to shoot as well, but I think they're more athletic as far as attacking the rim. I think this will be a very good Iowa State team in transition. Can they execute in the half court? One of the hard things to do. I like what I'm seeing out of the freshman, Lindell Wigginton, and the senior, Donovan Jackson. I like that backcourt. Nick Quiler-Babb's got to step up for him. And you hit it on the head, Scott. What about that front line? Can Brace come back from having two ACL surgeries? You know, that's as much mental as it is physical. But they need somebody at that four spot to either stretch the defense or protect the rim at the defensive end. And those two guys you talked about, Lard and Brace, are the two guys who are going to have to get it done.
Speaking of recruiting, some folks question whether Steve Prohm could recruit once the previous players had left the program. And by all intents and purposes, I guess he went into Illinois and got a big-time recruiting class.
Well, that's a great point, Mark, because when he was hired, that was the question. Can Steve Prohm recruit at the Big 12 level? Boy, what a recruiting class he's brought in. Like, and I'm hearing great things about Horton Tucker. And Chicago is not an area that Iowa State has recruited heavily. They were getting players out of Milwaukee, going back to Fred Hoiberg and Greg McDermott. So open up a new recruiting pipeline for the Cyclones. I think that's I really like what Steve Prohm's doing, guys. And I think this year you're going to see how well he can coach on the court. We saw a lot last year when it basically was his team, no longer Fred Hoiberg's. This is another challenge for him. I like what he's done with his team so far, and I like the way that he can develop teams. So it's not I think they're going to have trouble making the NCAA tournament with all the new faces, but this team's going to surprise at some points during the season.
Well, I think Iowa State has to give Illinois an assist in recruiting, right?
No question, because isn't there an issue with Horton Tucker's ex-AU teammate went to Illinois, and they were not going to play together again, is what I understood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that helped quite a bit, I think, right there to get him over to Ames. We mentioned Iowa State goes down to Columbia. That might be considered a cakewalk for what Ben Jacobson's walking into tomorrow night as they go down to the Dean Dome to start the season. That's not how you're supposed to start your season.
Yeah, let's open up with a defending national champion and also a team we beat 2 years ago, so they're still probably stinging from that, even though the Tar Heels got a little payback last season. But I called the Panthers game against North Carolina Pembroke. Boy, they got two freshmen that can play. Taiwan Pickford, double-double, and he got five or six offensive rebounds, really led the charge because they were down 8 points late in that game and made a comeback. I'm concerned, though, Scott, about their point guard play. Wyatt Lowhouse has not played yet. Hopefully he'll play tomorrow night. Juwan McLeod still has some growing to do.
How about Austin Fife?
Oh, I like him. And they played him down the stretch. So Bennett Cook sat the last 12 minutes, and they went with Fife and the other freshman, Pickford, when they were down 8. And I asked Jake afterwards, you know, he stuck with him because they are giving – they have great energy, those two freshmen. So, you know, and how about the recruit they got?
Yeah, A.J. Green.
That's got to be the first top 100 recruit ever signed by the Panthers, because if I remember, Doug McDermott was about 130 ranked as a recruit when he signed with the Panthers, although he ended up at Creighton.
Right, and A.J. Green, and nothing against Wyatt Lowhouse or anything like that, but A.J. Green could come in there right now, and if not start, definitely play 25 minutes.
Well, and I said this to you guys a couple weeks ago, to win the Valley, look back at the history, you usually have a point guard all the way back to Adam Emenicker. You have a point guard that's either the Larry Bird Trophy winner or a first-team Valley player. Fred Van Fleet, last year Parrish Lee. So you got to have great point guard play to win the Valley. And they struggled last year at that point guard position with Lowhouse's injury and McLeod being just a freshman.
We'll see if my Cohawks can give Drake a game Saturday.
I was going to bring that one up, Mark, because this is a Drake team that's really small, so it's not going to be like they outsized the Cohawks. So the Cohawks might have a chance if they shoot it well.
Never know. If you shoot it well, you got a chance to do anything.
Yeah, good point, especially in the way the rules have changed. So if you knock in that three ball, you get 11 or 12 of those in. That's the danger area for upsets.
That's a fun thing for Co to be able to do, though, to go to a Valley team and play.
And Wartburg's going to play UNI next week, too. So.
Yeah, I think also UNI's got University of Dubuque on their schedule a little bit later on. That is a real thrill for those guys. And they're going to, you know, they'll go in there and give it their all at Cohawks, Coach Martin's team.
Yeah, they certainly will. And, it's great to have basketball back, though. We don't have the greatest. There's some classics coming up next week, but really things will start to ratchet up when you get to the ACC Big Ten shootout and you get to the Thanksgiving tournaments that particular week. And then things will really start to take off as far as college basketball.
Well, and also, guys, you know, we're going to have Big Ten games in the middle of December, and that's going to be we're going to see that even in the next years because of that 20-game schedule. And I had this discussion the other day. Because of the Big Ten going to 20 games, are we seeing the end of the Big Four Classic, the Hy-Vee Classic? Do we put a fork in that? Is it over? Because is Iowa still going to play in that if they've got to play Big Ten games in December?
Mm. I hope so. And there is a lot of money tied into it, so I'm not betting against it.
I don't know. I'm not sure how. They just re-signed a contract, but I can't remember how many more years that was extended.
Yeah, I'd have to look that up. But there's a lot of tie-ins to that one. I think it might stick around. I hope it does, because I don't want to see Iowa State, UNI, Drake. I hated when the round robin went away, and I'd really hate it if this whole thing went away.
Well, I'm with you, Scott, because, you know, I was up at Northern Iowa, and we had a great schedule. And Elder Miller said, you know, we've got one of the best mid-major schedules in the country, because every year we either had the Iowa State Cyclones playing in the Dome or we had the Hawkeyes in the Dome. And then we had a four-game series with Nebraska. So we had a really, really schedule that would attract recruits. And now that Iowa doesn't go back there, Iowa State doesn't go back there, they don't go back to Drake. It makes it more difficult to get that RPI up there to get an at-large bid.
Hey, it was great to have an Eldon Miller day, if you will, up at Cedar Falls for the Pembroke game.
Well, not only that, Scott, that team came back, the 1990 team, so we had a ceremony and a dinner on Saturday night, and Bob Bowlesby, who was the athletic director that hired Eldon Miller, was our MC for that event. So I saw a couple guys I hadn't seen for over 25 years. It was really fun. And I have to say I was dragging a little bit on Sunday afternoon when I had to call the Pembroke UNI game because we were out a little bit late Saturday night.
Just blame all those guys.
Lesson learned in the preseason, never shoplift, especially in China, Kevin.
Yeah, especially in China. They may throw you in jail and take the key and throw it away. That would be the last place.
Oh, man.
You'd want to get in trouble with the law.
Yeah. That's not a big deal.
We haven't heard much. Have we heard anything from Father Ball from this episode?
Yeah, he said it wasn't a big deal.
Well, when is theft not a big deal?
I think it's going to be a big deal, and I think somebody told him to keep his mouth shut because he hasn't said anything in a couple of days. Oh,
well. And you know, guys, when you coach 17, 18-year-olds, they make bad decisions, and so nothing really surprised me. But what are you thinking?
Yeah.
In a foreign country, you're going to steal some sunglasses.
Yeah, this is a bad thing. This is a bad thing. Hopefully, well, we'll see how it all plays out right there. Hey, Kevin, appreciate it. Enjoy the hoops on weekend number one, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys, it's been a pleasure, and you guys have a good afternoon.
You bet. Kevin Lehman joining us here. Talk some college basketball. We're going to talk to him throughout the basketball season here on KGYM. 357, Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next. And coming up tomorrow, again, we'll be out at 345 for the Iowa City West game coming up tomorrow. We'll have an abbreviated pick six. Jeremiah Davis is going to join us coming up tomorrow as well. And trying to get someone to talk Wisconsin football, Kyle says, with us coming up tomorrow. So looking forward to that.
Real quick poll question at KGYMRadio.com. Who wins this power struggle? Jerry Jones or Roger Goodell? Thanks, Demos Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
And apparently someone said they had money on us last night. Was this what you were telling me?
It came in on the text line, yes. Thank God I had money on you guys, 4182.
Can we find out the owner of 4182 and just see what the line in Vegas was?
563 area code.
Ah!
We're narrowing it down.
Down. It was a long trip then to land to May City Bowl last night. All right, Mark. We will do it again tomorrow at 3.
Have a good call tonight.
Yep. Looking forward to it at the Uni Dome. Xavier and Solon will have it at 8 o'clock, 107.5, 106.3 FM. We'll talk to you along with John Hegarty tonight in Cedar Falls.
For many businesses, hiring is tough, which makes it critical.